I am thrilled you joined us today at A View Beyond the Ordinary. I'm Jolene Lenz, your host, and this is where we explore those divine encounters, meet some courageous souls who share their stories with the goal of helping us pursue our own bliss or dream. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and listen through Spotify, Apple iTunes, or one of your favorite podcast apps. And let's get started and tune in. Carlin Shaw is my guest today. Carlin is an inspirational storyteller, synchronicity stimulator, connection coach, and the founder of Strangers to Friends. At 19 years old, Carlin was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis followed by the death of her two best friends in separate car accidents. In the midst of despair, Carlin became aware of the ability she had to help heal her body, heart, and spirit. When Carlin went within to uncover the means to shift her story, a profound awareness swept over her. She had the choice to allow life to happen to her or for her. From countless interviews and speaking engagements ranging from the National MS Society to an appearance on Anderson Cooper, Carlin inspires her audience to shift their perspective and show up for themselves. A Boston and New York City marathon finisher, her 2015 feature in the Denver Post opened the door as a keynote speaker for an Alaskan marathon. Her newest passion project is reminding people, whoever smiles first wins. Carlin, I am thrilled to have you join today, especially talking about a subject near and dear to my heart, which is synchronicity and divine forces coming to our aid. So I'd love to start with asking you to share one of your synchronicities, or I'd love to hear even more of them. So let's start there. And again, welcome.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show to talk about synchronicity, because it truly is one of my favorite topics to share with others. And synchronicity, you know, there's two ways to look at it. It's this knowing that we all love those small world stories and we think, oh, it's a coincidence that something is happening. Or for me, there's different ways synchronicity shows up in my life. It's number patterns I see repeatedly. And for instance, in 2007, I started seeing the number 318. And at first it was a number obscure to me. So it came out of nowhere. And as I was paying attention, I realized the number was my number as a patient number at my chiropractor. It was the hotel room I was put in. It kept showing up in all these fascinating ways. And I started to ask myself, am I doing or thinking anything at the moment that's contributing to the number showing up? Like what role am I playing? And I realized it was like this high five from the universe that I was on the right path. And it was kind of a personal definition I was experiencing with this greater source that when I saw it, it gave me this conviction of like to go for it. At the same time, I started seeing numbers that were the complete opposite energy that were reminding me I'm giving away my power. This isn't serving me, like abort mission, turn around. So there's so many ways that synchronicity show up, but I recognize there was this aspect of me playing the role in it. It wasn't just random that the right person was showing up or the right opportunity was showing up. And the way I've developed this formula over time that I see this is how I create the synchronicity, or rather co-create, because it always involves another person or an idea or something showing up in a way that makes it go, okay, there's obviously a bigger game here and I'm just a part of it. So when I'm at a place in my life that I'm not living in alignment, or I'm not being truthful with myself, whether that be a job that I'm in that I'm miserable and my heart knows it wants to be somewhere else, or a relationship that I'm in where I'm giving away my power, or there's people pleasing and codependency involved and there's something just off in the relationship, or it's any capacity where my vibe is lower, or I'm just scared. Maybe it's not something that someone's doing, but a limiting belief within myself where I'm creating a story where I'm afraid. And so I'm not showing up for myself. This is not the space that synchronicity comes from. This is not the invitation, because we're not saying to the universe, I'm willing to meet you halfway. And I believe the synchronicities show up when we show up for ourselves. So this formula I've created to kind of explain, it kind of is like my own version of the hero's journey. If anyone out there knows about Joseph Campbell and that journey we go on kind of to find ourselves. So it's authenticity equals vulnerability equals synchronicity. And then the fun part equals the possibility. And the synchronicity and possibility kind of go hand in hand. So I'll explain this a little. The vulnerability aspect, well, the authenticity aspect is me being real with myself. So the idea is I'm being real with myself and I'm being real with another person. And that might mean, you know, going to the event that I've been putting off for a while, or speaking up to my boss, or, you know, just being real with myself. And the realness leads to that vulnerability action that we take. And that vulnerability action is that moment where our ego gets out of the way and we really take that realness into real life. So it's having that conversation with self, but then having that conversation with the next person or whatever it is that feels really challenging, like it's on the tip of your tongue, this action that you need to take. And oftentimes we are kind of on our knees at this point, like we're in a place of suffering and in pain, whether that's just the thoughts in our head or with the other person or with the other situation. And we're just at this crossroad where we got to do something, or we're just going to continue the sabotage and continue the fear that's around it. Well, when we shift that fear into faith and we choose ourselves in this moment, and again, it's that action that we're taking with ourselves and that willingness to go, okay, I can do something about this. That's when the universe will look at us and go, oh, look, she's willing to show up. She's willing to play. And again, this doesn't always have to be heavy. So I don't want to say like it's always heavy, but it can still be in this light source. So what we're going to do in this moment is we're going to shift that heavy energy, that whatever's holding us back, and we're going to shift that vibe into something in the moment, in the now, in the present, that's going to take us only in a forward space. So when we show up for ourselves in the now, in the present, as opposed to being stuck in whatever story we're stuck in, the universe goes, well, I'm going to send her this, that job that she's going to find, that's going to make her so curious. She's going to be like, I can't believe this job. That's my dream job. Just came out of nowhere. I'm going to apply for it. Or I'm going to introduce her to a person that shares the same, you know, like in my case with multiple sclerosis, it was all of a sudden me showing up. I started finally meeting other women my age with MS, but it wasn't just showing up for me. I was showing up for them. And that's the capacity, like, because the person that is interviewing for that job, they need an employee. So it's not just looking at it as what's in it for me, but recognizing there's this synergy that's involved. And again, it's even the numbers that are going to let you know you're on time, or the song that shows up on the radio that you're like, oh my God, it's my favorite song. And I feel so light and vibrant right now. And like life is perfect. Because when that moment shows up of this like almost unexplainable connection to something else out there, I always say that when nothing in the world makes sense, like all of a sudden, everything makes sense. And it's this reassurance that even though we've been in this crazy pattern, it's all connected. And the synchronicity represents that moment of connection where all the lemons that we've been piling up start to become that lemonade. And now this synchronicity is the catalyst for whatever possibility is to come from this. You know, you meet the person, but you have no idea that like 10 years from now, you're like, remember when we met and it felt so on time? Like, who can believe this is where we are? Or you have that job interview and you get the offer, but then there's so much more that comes from that job opportunity, or you leave the relationship and you immediately, you know, or not immediately necessarily, but you end up meeting that next person. That's the next person you have room for to receive their, receive them because you didn't have room before, or you let go of that limiting belief. And because that's a big one, it's that having the appreciation and the gratitude, and then you just start inviting everything in. So I look at synchronicity as something that we play a role in, and it's a universal law that we can invite these magical ways that we're reminded that it's bigger than us.
So what you just said, I was going to say, there is so much amazing information you shared with the listeners, especially turning fear into faith, the invitation to co-create, and that we do co-create, we're co-creating all the time, is just amazing. And Carlin, I know you shared a few of your stories with me. Do you mind sharing too with the listeners a direct example of how you took the, you know, going from fear to faith and getting on a plane to Australia?
Yeah, that is one of my favorites. So I'm 43 now, and this took place when I turned 27 in Australia. So this was a little ways back. But I will say, this was before The Secret came out, for those that are aware of manifesting, which is kind of that's how synchronicity is often brought to life. So this is a very self-taught journey of awareness. So going back a little further, the dream of mine to live in Australia became the dream when I was living in college, because I wanted to study abroad there, and it just, the timing wasn't aligned. And so I said to myself, one day I'm going to live and work in Australia. And I had printed out this, I even started carrying with me an application to one day apply for a work visa. So already I was like planting these seeds, even though I wasn't taking the action. Well, fast forward to here I am living in San Diego. I'm 26 years old, and I'm working in a job as a PR manager for a hotel, and I am miserable. I almost have no time for myself. I'm not getting paid my value. And out of nowhere, in this divine intervention, I would love to say I was laid off, but this was a situation where I was kind of fired. And I had no idea I was the first of many to be fired, but they left me. They fired me with this, like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. I didn't have an opportunity to finish my insurance and all this. And I thought to myself, I was in, you know, woe is me, angry, went through all the motions. Like, I wish I had left first, like all that stuff. And then I kind of took a step back and I was like, I'm free. And what do I want to do next? And this idea of going to Australia reemerged within me. And I looked at the fact I could spend $500 a month on COBRA insurance, or I could take that $500 a month and go to a country that has universal healthcare. So I was just brainstorming all these crazy ways that Australia could work. But here's the reality. I didn't have the money for a flight, and I didn't know how I was going to get to Australia. And again, this is before social media, so this was kind of crazy of an idea. This was in 2005. So, I went, this is where the synchronicity and the following the faith and the flow began. I went to, my laptop wasn't working back then, and I went to the public library, and I don't know what came over me, but I sat in front of that computer screen and I said out loud, please show me how I can get to Australia. Again, I didn't even know about the power of voicing at the time, but something called me to say that. And I heard a little voice within me say, monster.com. And I was like, monster.com? Like, why would monster? Like, it didn't even feel right. I'm like, that's where you go to like look for jobs to apply to, not like travel, you know? And I was thinking travel. And I go to monster.com and there's a travel section to look for jobs. And the first job that pops up is a 3-month opportunity to live and work in Australia with a nonprofit based in Yorba Linda, California, which was like an hour away from me. And the role involved going to different universities throughout Australia and talking about volunteer opportunities for the Australians to come over and help out in Baja region of Mexico and Costa Rica, and that they paid for your flight. And the more students that showed up, they paid you based on a commission. And I just sat there and I was like, I looked around me like, is this real life? Am I back then? There was a TV show with Ashton Kutcher called Punked. And I was like, am I being punked right now? Like, is this really happening? So it was just crazy. But it involved, the next step was I had to drive to Yorba Linda to go audition for this role. And I'm like, I don't even know where Yorba Linda is. I had no idea. So I went home to my roommates and I'm like, because back when you're 20s, you did stuff by yourself, but you didn't. And I didn't have any friends traveling overseas at the time. And I went to my roommates. I'm like, I'm going to go here, but I'm going to go do this. And I drive up there and it's in this community center. It was like so random. And I had to scream in a classroom of showing that my voice projected. I could go into, you know, lecture halls and I could talk to students. And they sure enough gave me this opportunity. And I was like, this is crazy. This is happening, but I'm just following the yeses that are showing up. So it was a $1,200 flight and they book it for me. And I'm being partnered with another gal that I'm going to travel with. And at this point I hadn't even told my parents, because I realized this was so something special to me that I didn't want the peanut gallery getting involved, telling me their what ifs or their fears or anything that could be projected on me, because I was choosing this for me. And I told my neurologist, like, I'm choosing this for me. And can I take a prescription of prednisone with me? And in the event that I need it, I'll take it, like covering all my bases. So this leads me to the day that I'm going to Australia, and my friends threw me a going away party the night before. And again, I was 26. We partied a little too hard. I woke up a little hungover. And I was this last minute throwing some stuff together in my bag. And the girl I'm traveling with to Australia happened to live in San Diego. So she offered to pick me up. And we're heading to the LAX airport. And we stop at a 7-Eleven to get snacks and coffee. And I go in and I get some coffee. And I had a wallet that was Hunter Green. So it was kind of dark. And I, without thinking, you know, like I was just in the, I got, grabbed my wallet and I put my stuff down in the car. So fast forward now, I grab all my stuff and we're at the airport. And you know, when you get to the airport and you're traveling international, it's really cool. You don't pull out your driver's license, you pull out your passport. You're like, ooh, I get to use my passport. It's like very special. You're an elite, you know? So I go through the airport through security and we all get to the gate and I'm meeting all the other girls. It was a handful of girls, we're all traveling. And I go to the duty free and I'm gonna buy some more snacks. And I get there and I go to pull my wallet out. I can't find it. And I tear apart my backpack. And at this point it's midnight. We have a late flight and I tear apart my backpack and I'm like, oh my God, I left my wallet in the rental car. I knew exactly where I'd left it. And panic. I mean, you can imagine, I'm flying to the other side of the world. I have no identification besides my passport. I don't have a cent to my name, not to mention I'm beating myself up because I realized how irresponsible this was. And now these gals that I'm traveling with, they're learning a whole side of me because they're watching me freak out. And then I having to like calm myself. So I call the rental company and they're closed for the night. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm faced here with this crazy choice of getting on an airplane and flying to the other side of the world without my wallet or any money. Again, I didn't even have a cell phone back then, this and no social media. So nowadays, when something like this would happen, very often you're just going to open up your phone, click on the app, Facebook, and put it out there and go, oh my God, this is what happened. And you're creating this drama and creating this circle and you're going to get everyone's feedback about what you should and shouldn't do. But that was impossible. I didn't have a phone. And I had to sit with myself and go, well, what am I going to do? And I was like, I almost get like teary eyed sharing this. I didn't come this far in this journey to not get on the airplane. I'm going to get on this airplane and I'm going to trust that everything is going to work out. So that's exactly what I did.
Oh my gosh. Carla, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I was going to say, when you get there without any money, I'm sure there were initial synchronicities that occurred that you you were able, obviously, I'm guessing you stayed for 3 months. Yeah. So continue.
I did. And so the gal that I was partnered with, I'm a very resourceful, very resourceful individual. So I just think like, okay, what do I have control over? What can the universe meet me with in this capacity where I'm going to show up and they're going to show up for me? So first thing I did with a 18-hour time difference was figure out a way to call the rental car company and let them know, I knew the license plate number for the car because we have the receipt. So I said, this is the car, this is the wallet. If you find it, the contents are this, this, and this, and there's a $20 bill in there, and keep the 20 as a tip. All I need is my wallet. And sure enough, they found my wallet. Well, the next hurdle was I was backpacking. So I didn't know how long the wallet was going to need to get to me. And I didn't even know where I was staying, but my friend and I were, I just went into like planning mode, which is actually not normally my wheelhouse, and thought ahead of where we were going. And I picked a place and I said, this is where we're going to stay. And I called the company and I said, please send my money here. Well, this was 2 weeks into the traveling. And of course I had needed money at this point. Well, it turns out I was using Bank of America and the gal I was traveling with was using Bank of America. And I was like, oh, well, if you're open to it, all the cash that I have access to, I can just, you know, transfer to your account and I can withdraw the money. And she's like, that's a brilliant idea. So that's what I did to have access to my money. And it actually ended up me being a little more responsible with my money than I would have probably had it been my credit card. So I was able to just dig into where I had control and not be in that fight or flight space. Because when you're in the fight or flight space, it's really hard to make these have clarity. And without the clarity, it's really hard to invite the synchronicity. So sure enough, at this L-shaped motel in Newcastle, Australia, my wallet showed up with nothing, with everything but the $20 bill.
Amazing. And I love, what are the odds that your roommate would have Bank of America?
Right. It was just all the things that if I was willing to take the action, then I was being rewarded for my action. And again, this was before cell phones or social media. So I handled it all on my own. And then I got to tell my friends and family, oh my God, you're never going to believe what happened to me. You're never going to believe what I did. And they're like, you went to Australia without your wallet. Like, and a lot of my friends were like, oh my God, I don't know if I could have gotten on the airplane.
The panic that most of us, Carlin, would have gone into, right? I doubt very that only just a very few individuals would be able to find the, what's the word I'm looking for? As you mentioned, just the inner knowing to pause,
right,
and trust. And you use some keywords there to trust that you would be supported. And that requires so much faith. So that's an incredible story. And I'm sure you had a ball in Australia for that 3 months.
And then I think just to highlight the ripple effect that comes from that showing up and all that synchronicity and having that faith, and that's what creates the flow. And for the next 3 months, not only did I learn so much about myself, but the experiences that I had and the crazy synchronicity that continued to show up at this point, I was like, bring it on, you know? The people I met and the like being led to see What the Bleep in the movie theater, meeting a guy who was from Ireland that I ended up traveling to Bali, Indonesia with later on. There was so much that showed up for me that were these possibilities that never would have happened that really were life-changing for me.
What a journey. And to do that at the age of, you said 25, 26?
I turned 27 living in Australia.
Incredible. Most, I was just trying to navigate life. I was surviving, not thriving. And look at you. That's amazing, especially prior social media, which is going to lead. I'm going to just go off, and I shouldn't say go off topic, but since you brought up, you know, you didn't have your phone then and you just, it was a different world then compared to now. And when you just look at social media and the influence that it has on folks, what are your thoughts in terms of, do you feel that it could be partially responsible for depression, anxiety, and just curious what your thoughts are on it?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts on it. In reference to the story I just shared, I think what social media has done in a large way has taken us out of going in. So again, I always think it's crazy when people ask for reviews on places. I'm like, well, we can ask for reviews, or we can just go there before we ever had all these reviews and decide for ourselves whether we like the restaurant, because the way somebody else tastes food is going to be different than how we taste food. You know, it's just like, if you want to try the place, go try the place. Because experiences happen not online, they happen in real life. So there's this aspect of, you know, trust. Again, it goes back to trusting yourself, and it goes into this space of, that leads to like the comparison, right? I know that I've personally struggled with comparison online. I see people that they are in their journey far ahead of where I thought I would be in my journey, or then the successes that I have, and like this, the highlights that, you know, are these people being real, or are they only showing the highlighted, you know, version of their life? And that creates one aspect of both depression and anxiety, because the depression is going to come from, you know, what I'm not doing, and the anxiety comes from what I need to do. So you're going to get both from what you're seeing on social media. But then there's all these aspects of just personal connection, because that's the space I play in with strangers to friends, and this concept of smiling with each other this mission I'm on. So there's two aspects of it, I think. I think, first of all, you know, how many of us we either have like even just online dating, right? So we're going to meet somebody. What's the first thing we do now? We Google them, or we look for them on social media and we see if we have any mutual friends with them. We're looking to come up with who they are before we've even met them, which is the same thing that happens on social media. We've already created this idea of who someone is. And I'm not saying the person isn't them. Like, I'd like to think I'm showing up authentically, and I'm hoping that I match what it is I'm putting out there to the people that meet me for the first time. But just showing up with that expectation of who someone is based on what they've chosen to share directly with us versus what they've chosen to share on social media, right there can be like, it's just a shame, I think, sometimes, because it doesn't discourage the curiosity that you have about someone, but anytime we have an expectation or judgment or something, it's just not the healthy space to create that authentic connection, because there's always assumptions. So I think sometimes the social media, while it's trying to foster connection, it actually creates the disconnection. And that also comes from just this space of, we think we're getting this real connection from somebody, but, you know, shut that app off and put your laptop screen down and you're left going, but all I want is a hug.
Right.
Can't really get that physical hug unless you then take the next step to meet the individual in person. So that's where I'm going to shift this and go, I see a lot of benefits to social media. I've connected with beautiful people all over the world because of what I've been willing to share that's invited them to share or comment, or vice versa. And, you know, I live in St. Petersburg, Florida now, and this is state number 8 for me. So when I get to a place and someone knows somebody, you know, the first thing they're going to do is through Instagram or Facebook, can I connect you with my friend? And I'm like, great. And so there's all these positive ways to stay connected through my family that, you know, around the country or whatever it is, it depends how you use it. And Facebook is used very differently than Instagram, I think. Facebook is more of the, let me show my highlights and stay in touch with friends from high school. And even though it is that business aspect too. So again, you're forming groups in business, and that's a way of using it, or it's this using it of just real connection with those you love. And Instagram, I don't know. They feel really different. Like Instagram, I meet more people I don't know already, and Facebook, I'm more connected with people I do know. And now when I'm out and about meeting people for the first time, it used to be like, hey, can I get your number? But now it's, hey, are you on Instagram? And we connect on Instagram before we before we swap numbers, because you can do voice memos on Instagram. So it's so crazy the way we've, it actually can serve, just depending how you use it. Or in June, or it was July, I realized I needed a break because I was spending too much time on it. And that's another aspect, is you get sucked into scrolling. And before you know it, an hour has gone by and you're like, I will never get that time of my life back again. And all I did was read about other people's lives. They don't even know I'm reading about their lives. And how did this even serve me?
Great. Great point. And I was going to say, I asked Carlin too, because I'm going to be sharing with the listeners and a few podcasts down the road after I do some of my own analysis and just, you know, what my thoughts are on it and what I'm finding the research shows. So that is really insightful. It sounds like your social platforms that you play with are Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, those are my playing with. I'm on LinkedIn and I've had some great connections on LinkedIn, but they're more intentional, I think, sometimes with how we're actually serving each other and more of a business role, I guess you could say. And, and now with just the capability of sharing videos and sharing your stories, because of my MS story and losing my two front teeth story, I have been able to connect with people all around the world, literally, that thank me for sharing the way I do, because it helps them not feel alone in their story. And that is a gift. I mean, I literally got a message from a young man in Kenya 2 weeks ago, thanking me so much for the blog that I wrote about lessons learned from losing my front teeth. And so that was on a blog, but I also had a video posted on YouTube, and this is going back to 2014. And somehow in searching online for what do I do when I lose my teeth, a lot of people are finding me. And the fact that I reached Ghana and he reached out to me, we're friends on Facebook now and we can chat, is mind blowing to me. So it just reminds me too, like if we use it the right way and share stories from a place of support versus sympathy, and from a place of showing up for ourselves and not in the shame and victimization, but here's what I'm doing with it, we invite others to show up in the same way.
Incredible. And I was going to say that leads me to thank you for sharing your insights. I love that, Carlin. Your inner calling, and you touched on it. How you went to find strange, I think you call it stranger to friends. Can you share what that inner calling is and how it came to life?
It came to life kind of as a fluke, if I'm being honest. I've always been someone aware that even at a very young age, that how I showed up invited other people to show up, friends with everybody in high school and without judgment. So that's always been a part of me. In 2009, when I was laid off from my job, a lot of people had been laid off from the job, the market had crashed. And I recognized I no longer had a business card. But I also recognized when I did have a business card, I never used it because it really didn't serve a purpose. But I knew at this moment, I wanted to be able to connect with people. And again, this was really before social media. So I went to the print Kinko's, and I sat there with the form of how do I describe myself? Like it asked for a title, excuse me. And I sat with that stillness within myself, and I heard the words, you turn strangers into friends. And I thought to myself, well, I do. I volunteer here and I do this and I love turning strangers into friends. And I also recognized that the women I met throughout like my MS journey and all these ways that I was showing up for myself, these were often strangers that I was connecting with that were becoming the people in my life that I needed. So I created a connection card for myself that just said, Carlin Shaw, turning strangers into friends. I did not have a website yet. So I put this super long URL that maybe someone would take the time to type into their, you know, computer, of my fundraising link, raising money for MS, and then my Hotmail account and all that good stuff. And what I recognized, first of all, was I had to get comfortable using it. And I thought, oh, I have to know who I am. Like, who am I? Like, what does this lead to? Oh, it leads to me. Well, how am I leading with me? So when I started feeling that confidence in myself leading, what began happening, which was mind-blowing, never would I have expected it, was the first thing people were recognizing was, well, first of all, they were like, what does this mean? And I was like, well, everyone starts off as strangers and we have no idea why we're meeting right now. The reason we're meeting doesn't show up in the moment. This is the journey we're going to take of both of us needing to show up for ourselves and then seeing where the possibility leads. And it was just this knowing. And so I was getting to introduce people to this concept of showing up and seeing where it went. Now, not everybody did this play out with, but the ones that did were really powerful. But more importantly, it was that URL for fundraising for MS. And out of the woodworks, people started showing up, like a guy whose sister was recently diagnosed, or someone whose mother was diagnosed, or they were diagnosed. And they, because talking about our stories back then, again, it was different. This was before everyone was a coach and before everyone was airing their dirty laundry on social media. And I was showing up with confidence and just being and owning it, like, oh yeah, I was diagnosed with MS and I have a walk team and I'm raising money. And people that didn't know who to turn to or felt very alone in their story started showing up to me. And I was like, there is something to this. And they weren't just showing up because they needed me. I was receiving from their energy as well, not only in the space of, damn, it feels good to help somebody, because that's what we're here to do, is show up for ourselves and show up for others. But I was like, gosh darn it, we are all connected and we're all connected through our stories. And when I share mine, I give permission to others to share theirs. And then the ripple just continues, because if I can help this individual find that self-love in their self around this story, they're going to go out into the world. And it's going to create even more of a ripple effect. So this knowingness has been a lifestyle that I've embodied going back, as I said, all the way to 2009. And it, you know, it led me to creating a meetup. It led me to moving across the country by myself with a bunch of cards and completely starting over, trusting I would find the community I needed. And like, who am I showing up to a new city? It trusted to start a meetup in Denver, where around 4,000 people joined, and all I was promoting it as, do you want to feel seen and heard, not feel judged, knowing everybody's showing up to meet other people. This is a safe space to share your story, and knowing the intention here really is just human connection. And I promise there's going to be synchronicity in small world stories. Now, like you mentioned, not everybody knows the word synchronicity sometimes. So I had to educate people on, oh my gosh, I'm so happy you showed up for yourself here. Because as a result, you're going to meet the people you're meant to meet here, and you're going to gain that confidence to take out of this meetup into the world so that you can meet the people that you're meant to meet. And so it's just become this, like I said, this way of living that I want to show people. You don't need the meetup to meet people. You actually just need to believe in yourself. And it's not about being extroverted or introverted. Like, it's just about believing in yourself and putting yourself out there to do the things that make you happy, knowing you're going to meet other people doing the same things, and that everyone we need is all around us.
You know what, Carlin, this is, yes, again, when I usually end towards the latter part of the podcast, I get those energy bumps. I call them God bumps or goosebumps when we speak our truth, and the authenticity that you speak about and trusting yourself and the ripple effect. The ripple effect your influence has, I bet, is just greater than we would ever know of how.
Ooh, I just got God bumps.
Just right to have those type of stories and the influence when we are just truly ourselves and believe that we are here for a higher purpose. I am smiling, which leads me to, I am really smiling ear to ear right now. And I know you, everybody can't see because this is a podcast, but just so everybody knows, Carlin has a shirt on saying smiles
first. It says whoever wins. Smiles first wins.
Yes. And share where that, if you don't mind, one more, where that came from.
Well, I first bought this shirt from somebody else back in 2011. And I bought it when I moved to Wilmington, North Carolina, completely on my own, having never been there before, not knowing a soul. And I was in the space of starting over. And it was kind of like this personal science experiment. And I noticed that when I wore this shirt, I was inviting people. People would come up to me and be like, I won, or, oh my gosh, like there was just this light energy exchange. So I just had fun wearing the shirt. Well, fast forward to 2013, and I was living, or 2013, 2014, I'm living in Denver, Colorado, and I get into a freak bike accident where I shatter my front teeth on impact. And for 8 months, I did not have my front teeth, and I had to wear a smile flipper, and it was a big deal. But I, and again, that's a whole other story to go through, but I was able to embrace the silver linings of that story. And I started wearing my Whoever Smiles First Wins t-shirt without my teeth. And what I realized was it's not just our smiles that connect us all, but it's the story behind our smiles that connect us all. And why do we smile? And how do we show up and smile for ourselves? Because when I showed up and smiled for myself, even if I didn't have teeth, people did not expect it. You should have seen their faces. They smiled too and recognized, gosh, this woman, you know, is smiling even if she didn't have teeth. I wonder if I'd be able to do that. And so then I wrote a blog about it. And I just challenged people to go, what are your two front teeth? Like, are you hiding in shame in your story, or are you allowing yourself to smile? And fast forward to when I created that, I befriended the woman that initially created the shirt, and she was no longer marketing it. And I said, do you mind if I sell it? Because it has had such a powerful impact on my life. And she gave me her blessing, and Michelle and I are friends. So fast forward, and now we're in the land of masks, right? And we're in the land of, is this person safe? Is this person friendly? Like, I don't have to explain it. Like, we all know what we've gone through over the last year. And a lot of us have had these stories that have made us not want to smile, you know? And not only is there power, you know, building our immune system from smiling, because it changes the energy within us, but really and truly, it's how we have to make sure each other still receives that smile. And, when you wear a shirt, Whoever Smiles First Wins, you're announcing to anybody, like, I'm friendly. Like, I still want to be seen and heard. I still want to connect with you. And even if you're wearing a mask, I've still had people run up to me and be like, I win. Or you see them smile with their eyes. And the fun part is going to the airport. So I've actually traveled quite a bit during the pandemic, and I would wear my shirt every single time I went to the airport. You know, that moment where you're walking down the aisle on the flight and everyone's kind of looking at you. Like, I would just proudly like flash my shirt at them, and just, I could see the people lighting up because people were so happy to see me being happy and not in fear and saying, like, I see you. And it was creating that real connection in the moment, because to know if you're smiling and winning, you got to make eye contact. So it goes beyond just the smile. And it's just my way of challenging everyone to like be present in the moment with people. And sometimes I forget I'm wearing it, and someone will run up to me and be like, I win. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I forgot I was even wearing my shirt. Like, it can be that powerful. Like, I'm not even looking at them. So I now sell these shirts, and I think they're great for kids, because I feel these poor kids, you know, not having to wear a mask, or they're not learning the same social skills maybe as well, because they've been separated and all these things. And I just think it's a really loving way to give back right now, and also remind people, like, what is your story? Because what have you overcome to continue smiling, or what makes you smile? And just be with that in the moment, and then offer it to somebody else so that they can take that smile chain. And you don't know how much a smile affects somebody else. Like, it could just be what they needed that in that moment, or I do believe it's what someone needs in that moment for that day.
Well, you have brought a tremendous smile to me, and I am going to go buy that shirt, because what a great, as both of us being, you know, connectors and storytellers, to connect with others in a positive force. And you are a positive light out there in the world right now. And I believe the world needs more light. So in terms of, you know, just absolutely, it's just refreshing to hear all the advice and all just, I don't even want to use the word advice, the wisdom that you have learned from your own inner being, from trusting yourself, Carlin. Most of us, I know for me, I didn't learn to really start trusting my own inner voice until I was into my 40s. So good for you.
Well, and I do want to highlight to your listeners, there have been a lot of times I haven't trusted myself. And the times I haven't trusted myself when I'm in my head and I'm in that fear space, I've had to learn some pretty painful lessons. So it's also taken that to remind me to trust myself. Like usually when I get myself into a scenario where I'm not being in my truth, whether again, it could be taking the wrong job, the wrong relationship, whatever it is. And then I get out of it and I start meeting the universe halfway and the synchronicity shows up. It's just that reminder of the power of trusting myself. And so I've done it. I've had to live through so many different experiences that now I'm just really good at it, you know? But it's been a journey. So it's not there. It wasn't inner know. It's always been my inner knowing, because it goes back even, you know, back to high school and the things that I was choosing. But I don't want to make it sound like I didn't have to do some suffering along the way.
You know, you just remind me of Brené Brown when you just said that. It sounds like you have a toolbox. You have some inner guidance as to what steps you take when you do find yourself in your head. And you can recognize it and those painful moments. On that note, really quick, I know Joseph Campbell, you mentioned him earlier. He has a quote too, where he says, where we fall and stumble, and I'm paraphrasing, is where the treasure lies. And
all the hairs on my body, all of them are standing up right now.
You know, and when I hear your story, I just want to highlight one thing that next time, Carlin, I'd love to have you back. And we talk about is health and healing. And you have, you know, part of your story is you were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. You've had some loss. You've just spoke about losing your two front teeth. And I'm guessing that those journeys and where you've had to go into some of the suffering is also where some of your greatest treasures lie.
All of my greatest treasures.
So next time we talk with the listeners, I would love to hear more about.
Especially death, especially the losing of my two best friends in the same year was a huge catalyst for me.
Oh my gosh. And the fact that you mentioned, and I had stated in the intro when I shared is, you know, you became aware of the ability you had to heal your body, heart, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And that is even going a little bit deeper. So next time, listeners, we'll have to bring Carlin back down the road if you're open.
Love to come back.
Yes, and dig in a little bit deeper there. But you, the ripple effect, the smiling, the fear into faith, just a lasting thought to leave the listeners with to make today something special. Anything, you know, you would want to share?
I would love to say that life does not happen to us. It happens for us.
Yes,
it's all a matter of perspective.
And when we see things differently, it changes, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
Thank you for your sharing your incredible story, your vulnerability today, and just your love and light, Carlin. It shines really bright, and keep smiling, girl.
Well, thank you. And I love our synchronicity that invited this conversation. So it's all connected.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm grateful for each of you tuning in today. I will add Carlin's information to both the show notes and my website. And here in co-creating, may we just create heaven on earth. Thanks again for tuning in. Please, if you enjoyed this, subscribe to the podcast and have a joy-filled day.